or Judah in English. There's no J, so it couldn't have been Judah. It's Yehuda, praisers of Yah. That's what the name Yehuda means in Hebrew, to praise Yah. Now, the scribes, who basically left us a pretty amazing trail of confusion, often interchanging certain words for deceptionally purposes, so that they, the scribes, could gain influence and preeminence among the house of Israel. They loved the chief seats, and they loved to walk in the marketplaces and to be greeted as rabbis and whatever, according to the Messiah. Now, who were the scribes? I'm going to amaze you. They were not the children of Yahweh. They were not the authorized writers or copiers of that which had been written. That's what scribes did. They, they didn't have modern printing presses back then. And what they did, they would take one scroll, it's called a roll, and they would unroll it, and when it was used to where the letters begin to wear off of the lamb's hide, what they would do, they would recopy, supposed to be in it tediously and very carefully, but our Messiah, who was always weary of the scribes, and he warned us about the scribes, and rightfully so, if you know how to interpret what he was saying. That took me over 40 years to find out what the Messiah meant when he said to beware of the scribes. And I basically at that time didn't even know what a scribe was, but I found out. And then I was amazed that there must be something wrong with these scribes where he said for us to beware of them. Now, if there's a bridge out at on the road, the highway, and you go up and become the flagman, and you wave the red flag and tell the person that's coming down the road to stop, and he inquires what's wrong, and you tell him the bridge is out, and he said, "Oh, no, you're trying to deceive me," and he drives on, he drives off into the river, and he drowns. We're destroyed for the lack of knowledge, and tonight we're going to talk about what knowledge would benefit you the most in a very complex issue of the fifth part of our series tonight of Growing in Grace and Knowledge. This is the most important part. If you can get this, if you can grasp it and put it together, now it takes a lot of labor, it takes a lot of study, and all these messages have been posted by Postmaster Brother Bob on our website, oneyahweh.com. That's oneyahweh.com. oneyahweh.com. Just go there, and you can collect all the messages. We got hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours posted up there for your listening benefit, and all you got to do is go online, click on the messages that you would like to download on the sermon file, and you can download this information. It's free. Bob has done a lot of labor on your behalf to make it convenient for you. He's numbered the series, and you can go up and you can click into the series, download every one that you would like, and listen to this because it's already posted up there. But tonight, I'm going to reveal something to you that is very beneficial to you in growing in grace and knowledge. When you read in the Bible of the recopied, we don't know how many times that the scriptures have been recopied by a people that you shouldn't trust. And it's amazing that Yahweh would turn his word, which is, we now get, is the King James Bible, which is what I'm reading out of tonight. And you can find the little things that Yahweh wanted you to be aware of being beware of the scribes. Verse 55 of First Chronicles, and the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez, the Tirathites, Kemethites and the Succothites. These are the Kenites. These are the Kenites. I'm going to repeat that. Now, do you understand why that Christ said for you to be one of them? They're Kenites. They loved the chief seat. They wrangled around and got political position, just like they've done in America. They have slipped in unaware, or with the solid support of most of the church-going Christians today who believe that these people, especially the rabbis, oh, they get special accreditation. And they have wiggled, wormed their way into the chief seats of our government, and they have also wiggled, wormed their way into the hearts of Christians. I know of even inviting these Khazar Jews, or these Edomite Jews, or these Canaanite Jews. Now, there's three different branches of them. And tonight we're going to deal with the Canaanite branch. You say, well, Pastor Betty, I didn't know that there was any Canaanite Jews. Well, if you didn't know that there was Canaanite Jews, you don't really know much about the Bible. And to acknowledge it is the first step toward knowledge and grace. Because if you do not acknowledge these, who are written in the Bible, it's plain in the Bible who they are. I just told you who the families of the scribes was. They're the Kenites. Now, if you look up the word Kenite, it is an abbreviation form of what we would describe as Canaanites. They had a Canaanite connection, bloodline. Now, notice this. I'm going to show you something here real strange. We just turn one page, and we come to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and I'm going to read verse 1. The sons of Judah, Perez, Haran, and Carmel, and Hur, and Shobah. And Rehob, the son of Shobat, begot Jaham, and so on and so on and so forth. And these are the families of the Zorites, or from Perez. And then we get on down, if you read on, and we notice something here. The sons of Judah. And it deals, and now this is the scribes now that have done this. And if you don't know your Bible, you would just go ahead and read, and you wouldn't think that Judah had any more sons. But in fact, he did. And we're going to study about that tonight and show you in the Bible that Judah mongrelized his seed. And it's so sad that we become victims, if you will, of this seed that is not mentioned much in the Bible. However, Christ knew who they were, and I know who they are, and I hope you know who they are. And if you are a learned disciple of the Bible, you know who they are. Now, how would we know, how would we go, how would we find just exactly who these other the sons are of Judah? Because there it didn't tell the whole story. There, they left. It's blatantly obvious to someone that knows this. I became aware of it about 25 years ago, after I'd preached Jesus for 30 years and didn't have one iota inkling that this was in the Bible. I'd never heard it preached on. Being in a Christian church, you don't hear this kind of message in the Christian church. I don't have anything against Christianity if they acknowledge a living Messiah. But when they try to make him out to be something he isn't, change his name, and give him a loving allegiance that he was a Jew, then you have to draw the line and pull the ripcord and bail out to save yourself from this untoward generation, because the Bible said these deceivers, would deceive the very elect. Now notice, and it came to pass that, this is in Genesis 38, if you're following me in the Bible, verse 1, and it came to pass that at that time, that was the time when Judah had more sons. The scribes must have forgot about it. I know what happened. They wasn't aware of him doing this. You reckon that Christ knew something that most Christians don't know? You reckon he was a little bit smarter than the average bear, as we say here in the South? Bears are pretty crafty. But if you're just an average, if you're smarter than the average bear, you're going to get the rest of the story. And he's going to get the prize because he's going to find the food that you've got stored in your locker or in your little backpack, and he'll eat your lunch. Well, these Pharisees, through deception, beware of the Pharisees, beware of the scribes. These are the people that have manipulated and changed a certain text in the Bible to where you don't really understand what in the heck's going on. I mean, it's amazing how deceptive they are. And once you traditionalize somebody to believe something, a lie especially, it is almost impossible to go back and teach that old dog a new trick. He just ain't going to hear the word. His ears are stopped. His mind, his eyes can't see this. And yet it is so revealing of the things that they have concealed to keep you in the dark and destroy you for the lack of knowledge. It came to pass at this time that Judah went down from his brethren, first mistake, and turned in to a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. Now here he saw a Canaanite woman. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that these Canaanite scribes could have possibly been blood kin to Judah? And the answer is overwhelmingly yes. They had his blood in their genes. They had Judah and his wife who mixed their seed together illegally, and it became an illicit affair that Yahweh was so discouraged with that this Yehuda, when he laid with this Canaanite woman, which was against Yahweh's laws, thou shalt not take a Canaanite wife. Here he defied his grandfather, Abraham. He defied his grandfather, Isaac. And his great-grandfather would be Abraham. His grandfather would be Isaac. He defied those who were sworn covenant people to not take a wife from the Canaanites. And here Judah, she must have been a good-looking woman, just like today. These strange women that come to tempt the Israelites. We've even got Israelite men and women marrying other races. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Our church approves of it. It condones it. Well, that's what's wrong with your church. Kind after kind is the command. And if you would keep yourself unspotted from the other kinds, you would be well advised. Here, Judah was not, I don't know where it's an act of disobedience. Surely he knew the plan. However, he went down there and he married Shua. He consummated the marriage, and she conceived, and she bare a man. And the Bible said he was evil. From this union, ladies and gentlemen, came the most tragic affair. I mean, name, I'm talking tragic. It brought chaos. It brought confusion. It brought upheaval. It brought wars. From the house of Judah and the house of Israel, they eventually separated over this. And we know that when Joshua partitioned the lots of the tribes, he specifically told Judah to stay in the south. And he put Israel to the north, separated because of one problem, miscegenation in the house of Yehuda. Well, you say, well, buddy, that was probably true, but he rectified his seed with Phares and Zorah. Well, that's true. If he married a true blue woman, she was, and I believe she did, she was Tamar. But Tamar had to use some deception. But see, that didn't still qualify Judah's sons Phares and Zorah to be firstborn. They weren't firstborn. And the scribes are trying to keep him from you. They won't tell it to you. And your preachers will not tell you this great mystery that I'm revealing to you tonight, that the Kenites, the scribes, were out of this house right here between Yehuda and Shua, the Canaanite. You say, well, I thought Yahweh killed Onan. Well, he did. But Judah went right back and laid with her, and he had a second son, and his name, ladies and gentlemen, was very appropriate, Er. I mean, after Yahweh killed the first one, he erred again and brought forth Er. Have you caught this yet? Do you see what I'm talking about? That there is a problem in the house of Yehuda. Not everything that says it's a Jew or a Yehudite is a Yehudite. Yahweh knows that them are true, and he also knows them that are false, and he recognized these seeds right here that sprung from the loins of Yehuda, who are now known as Jews, and a short and firm. And he brought forth Er. Well, what happened there? Well, he was evil too. Evil. The first was evil, the second was evil, and he killed that one. Yahweh, he didn't say he hardened the fashion to go up there and where one of the other brothers went down and killed his offspring here to keep him from hatching or to keep him from producing. But that's exactly why Yahweh killed the first two. Well, now notice this. I mean, he must have loved his Canaanite woman so good, because he went right back to work. He laid with her again, got her pregnant, and this time she conceived and called his name Shelah. Now here we have a problem. And Judah took a wife for Er, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. Now listen to this. Judah took a wife for his firstborn. You catch that? Er wasn't his firstborn. Onan was his firstborn. And yet Yahweh killed that one, and now here's Er. He's getting in on the act. And he grew up, and here he's got a wife named Tamar, and according to the book of Jubilees and the book of Jasher, she was from the house of Shem. Now the Bible, the King James, it doesn't tell you that, but according to the other two books, she was a Shemite. So that would make her lawful to marry, but not to heir a Canaanite. Evidently, she didn't understand this. See, by our foolishness, we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge, and right here we have a destructive power dealing with a major tribe here of Yahweh's children, the house of Yehuda. The devil polluted Judah's bloodline. Now let's find find out what happened. And there, Judah's firstborn, and that's not true, but it was true after the descendants, because he killed the first one, old man, and now we have Er, and he was wicked in the sight of Yahweh, and Yahweh slew him. Yahweh slew him. He didn't say that Frank slew him, David slew him, or Henry slew him, or John Henry slew him. It said Yahweh slew him. I don't know how, but bless God, if you think Yahweh can kill you in a microsecond, you better guess again. Yahweh slew him, for he was wicked. And Judah said unto Onan, go in unto thy brother's wife and marry her, and raise up a seed to thy brother. And Onan knew that the seed would not be his. And it came to pass that when he went into his brother's wife, he spilled it on the ground, lest he should give seed to his brother. Okay, let's see what happened. And the thing which he did displeased Yahweh. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. You think that just placing the seed on the ground displeased Yahweh, or that Onan here was a wicked son from the Canaanite woman, and Yahweh was trying to eliminate the possibility of them bringing seed into Judah's bloodline? I believe it's the latter here, that Yahweh was just basically trying to kill off the offspring from Judah and from Yeshua, the Canaanite woman, and rightfully so, because Yahweh had told his sons previously. Abraham told his servant, do not go to the Canaanites to get me a wife for Isaac. Well, we know that Ishmael, he married everything he could get to, and that's the Arab race now, from the Arab race. But Ishmael was a special son, and the Bible said he inherited everything that his father Abraham had. And they were told not to go among the Canaanites to get their offspring, or to have offspring with the Canaanite. It was told into the law. And you know Judah knew this. So he's very, very out of order here. Now let's see what happened. And then said Judah to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow at your father's house till Shelah, my son, be grown. Now remember, he's got Shelah here. He's got Onan, and he's got Er, the first two died. Shelah survives. Shelah. Remember that word. Now here is Shelah, a son of Yahuda, Judah, and the Canaanite woman, and this is the connection of the Kenites of 1 Chronicles 2:55, and that's why Christ said, beware of them. He also said, beware of the Pharisees. Out of the house of this union of Shelah. Now, we're going to trace him a little bit further if we have time, and to tell you how that he got sons and daughters, and it's amazing. We go back to the 46th chapter. Now, of course, you know how Tamar, after she was deceived, because Judah said, I can't give this woman Shelah, that's my only son. Now, here the scribes completely ignored it in 1 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1. They didn't even put them down as, and rightfully so, if he was trying to hide and conceal something. Well, they didn't conceal it from the Messiah. 12 years old, he was down there taking the scribes and the Pharisees to task in the temple, and they marveled that he figured his deal out. Well, he's the one that killed Er and Onan. He would have killed Shelah, because he was not going to let Shelah, Er or Onan bring forth a polluted seed into the house of Israel, which Judah was a member of the house of Israel, not the house of the Jews. You understand this? Now today, we think, we've been told by the lying scribes and the lying Pharisees and the lying preachers, especially the the preachers out of the Catholic Church who indoctrinated the Protestants to believe this serpentine lie and pass it on to our children, and now that they've got this mark of deception into our families, we grew up thinking that the Jews, J-E-W-S, Jews were God's chosen people, and it's not true. Now, I'm not trying to make anybody mad or get on anybody's toes. I'm just preaching the Bible here. Now, if that offends you, so be it. Because the word of Yahweh is sharper and quicker than a two-edged sword, piercing even joint and marrow of the bone, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Holy Ghost power with boldness. And ere Judah's firstborn was wicked, Yahweh slew him. And then Onan, he slew him. And then he would have slewed Sheila. But Judah was smart enough to know that he couldn't trust this marriage and union between Tamar, because all three, all the first two had been killed that she was married to. And the law of the house of the Hebrews stated that if a first brother died without seed, the second next in line to him would go into her and let her conceive and bring up seed to the memory of his first brother, the firstborn, so that the laws of Yahweh could be protected. And yet Yahweh killed himself. He did not want that to happen. Now, notice here. We're going over to the 46th chapter of the book of Genesis. Let's go there just in a moment. And let's see if Sheila, Yahuda's son here, let's see if he's living. When they all went down to Egypt. Now here's the 12 sons. Now they're fixing to go down. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba, and offered sacrifices unto Yahweh, his father, the Elohim of his father Isaac. And Jacob, or Yahweh, spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob, or Jacob is his name. Jacob, the J is not there. Jacob, Yah, a prince. And he said, here I am. And he said, I am the God of thy father. Fear not to go down to Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Now, what Yahweh didn't tell him was, he's going to make two great nations, one good and one bad. We've always had that aspect. We've always had it in our midst, and we just weren't told about it. When we grew up going to church, these things that I'm teaching you tonight was never even mentioned. I never knew this. And I preached for 30 years. Now, you'd think in 30 years I could have found some of this out. But when you're blind and you're putting blinders on and you read out of a conditioned mind, it's amazing how much deception that you will preach yourself and not even be aware of it. The Bible said they will deceive and they will be deceived. Well, I was deceived, and so then I came along and preached deceptive gospel. That's what I called it. But I preached deceptive tradition. Now, notice this. I will go down unto thee, I will go down with thee, and I will bring you out again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob rose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father, and their little ones, and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry them. And they took their cattle and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and his seed, and, now listen to this, Jacob and his seed. Did you know that one of them was a Canaanite son? He said, I didn't know that. Oh, yeah. Sheila survived. I mean, Yahweh didn't get to kill him. Because Tamar went up to Yehuda, and she lay with him in a deceptive way. But you can say that old Jacob or old Yehuda, Judah, I mean, he must have been a horny old dude because he went actually got he got horny after his Canaanite wife died, and he went up and visited the prostitutes. She didn't have a sign out there said, "Judah, stop here at my tent." But when he came to one of the prostitutes sitting on the roadside, and there were many, he said he went in and he gave a pledge, his signet, that was his ring. What they would do in those days, they would get clay tablets, and they would press the ring into it as a surety. And so not only did she have his ring, his signature ring, she of his clan, she had also his bracelets, which was a clan item. And just as sure as she laid with him, she conceived by Yehuda. This time, we believe that she made a clean bloodline when she conceived with Judah. That was her father-in-law now. But this is a strange tale, any way you take it. I mean, it's almost repulsive that Judah would do something, but he did. And he was wrong. And we've all sinned and come short. And here we believe, through the wisdom of Tamar, who was denied a seed, she finally gets a seed from her father-in-law. And when Judah finds out she's pregnant, they tell her in the camp because she's still one of the family members. And Judah had purposely kept Sheila, the Canaanite's son, from her. Evidently, she didn't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why she would want it to lay with him. But she was probably deceived. I don't know. And we can all be deceived through blood because it's hard to discern. That's why Christ said, keep yourself pure and unspotted from the world. Well, here was Judah. He hid Sheila. And we're going to find him here. Jacob went down with all of his seed. Now, remember, it will be Perez and Zara from Tamar, and from the Canaanite woman, it will be Sheila. And Sheila will be the elder son. He will be in line for the birthright to inherit every, or a double portion at least, of what Judah had. It's never mentioned how that came about. We only talk about Zara and Perez when we're talking about the house of Judah. And nobody ever wants to talk about these things, and I have to bring them up, and everybody thinks, that's strange. I've never heard that preached, but that can't be true. Well, it is true, because I'm right here in the Bible, and I'm fixing to prove it to you. And his sons and his son's sons, there it is, his sons, Jacob, his sons, and his son's sons, with him, his daughters, and his son's daughters, and all his seed, brought he with him unto Egypt. And these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt: Jacob and his sons Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and the sons of Reuben, and the sons of Simeon. Now wait a minute, we're going to stop here in verse 10. The sons of Simeon, Jemuel. Now if you notice here, the sons of Reuben, and you know why Reuben, the firstborn, wasn't permitted to get the birthright? Because he laid with his father's concubine. And Judah caught him in the I don't know, these Israelites was a horny bunch of people here, if you ask me. But he caught him laying with his concubine, and he said, "Okay, you ain't gonna inherit as the birthright son." Now the honor of this is that the birthright son in the house of Israel would produce the kinsman redeemer who would be the savior of that house, just like Joseph was. Wouldn't it be strange if Christ was not a Jew, but he was a Josephite out of the house of Joseph? Well, we'll get into that later. Here it is. Simeon had Jemuel, Jamin, Ohan, and Jachin, and Zohar, and Shaul, S-H-U-L, Saul, the son of a Canaanitish woman. Now, here's Osimian. He's the third offspring, and he's disqualified himself. He's got a Canaanite bloodline here. Now, remember, he's going down into Egypt. Well, how long did they stay down there? Over 400 years. And you reckon that old Saul down there, that he married into the Israelite family? I'm sure he did. Well, if he was tainted with Canaanite blood, because Osimian had a son by a Canaanite woman. So that's the third strike of disavowing the sons, these birthrights. Now let's look at the fourth one. And the sons of Judah. Oh, here they put it in there because it would have been very obvious had they left it out. But they got it in. And the sons of Judah, Er, and Onan, and Shelah, and Perez, and Zarah. But Er and Onan died in the land of Canaan, and the sons of Perez. Now wait a minute. All lived right here. Remember the Bible said beware of the scribe? Don't you think it left somebody out? They didn't mention the sons of Shelah. Wonder why. Oh my. And the sons of Perez. Why is Perez mentioned here when they skip over the oldest son, which would have been from the Canaanite woman? They put Simeon's Canaanite son in there. But they didn't want you to know that the Jews had Canaanite blood in their bloodline. And so they start with Perez and Zarah and, let's see here, no. Well, isn't that strange? They didn't mention Zarah's sons. Well, you reckon he was a eunuch? I don't think so. Because we're going to find out that when they went down into Egypt and stayed 400 years, that they had some mixed blood when they came out of the land of Egypt. Now, why would they have some mixed blood? Well, I just read you two Canaanite sons that went down there. Let's go to the 12th chapter. And let's look here at the coming out of the house of Israel out of the land of Judah. Now, it's 400 years later, if you follow me in the narrative here. And here it is. Now, the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And Yahweh gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. Now, Let's read where that they actually came out and they had what is called a Canaanite connection. Let's see that. Let's start at verse 37 and pick it up again. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, 600,000 people. You reckon they had any Canaanite bloodline mixed in there with them? I would think so, wouldn't you? We got Simeon's son. He was there. And we got Judah's son, Shelah. He was there. And listen to what it says. And a mixed, verse 38, a mixed multitude. Now, if you'll take that word mix out in the English and put in the proper word, it's Ereb, which means a manser. And out came a manser multitude with them, and they had flocks and herds, and they had very much cattle. So these two Canaanite sons of Simeon and Judah the fourth son, they came out with much. These mansers now came out with the children of Israel, lived right among them, married, intermarried, and that's where you get your scribes and Pharisees. From this bloodline, and they were very zealous of getting the chief seats and running the show, and they eventually took over the Sanhedrin. That's why Christ spoke against them. Here is the marvelous Messiah. I marvel. Well, I shouldn't marvel because he's Yahweh. He knew Abraham. And this is why the Jews mock him. We're going to find that out in just a minute. You're 50 years old, and you say you know Abraham. And the Messiah said, before Abraham was, I am. Caused it to verb to be, Hayah Eliyashah Hayah. The name was exposed right there. I am is the causative verb. And it's so plain. You would got it. In the 38th verse, a mixed multitude, and flocks and herds, and very much cattle, and they baked unleavened cakes of dough, which they brought forth out of the land of Egypt, and they didn't tarry. And now, we're going to go over to the book of Numbers, if you will. Follow me over here to the book of Numbers, chapter 11. And we'll deal a little bit more with these types of people. And we're going to find out just exactly what's going to happen. And Moses heard the people weep throughout the families. Every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of Yahweh was kindled against them. And Moses said unto Yahweh, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I found favor in your sight, that thou layest the burden of all these people upon me? Have I conceived this people? Have I begotten them, that they should have said unto me, carry them in thy bosom? Whence should I have flesh to give unto these people? For they weep and say unto me, give us flesh. They were lusting for flesh, meat. Evidently, Yahweh didn't approve much of meat for his people to eat. It's very strange that they got hooked on meat down there, and Yahweh didn't provide them any. And it was the mixed multitude, verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. What they lust for? Meat. They wanted blood, bloody meat. That's what they wanted. Now, meat's okay, but you're not supposed to eat the blood. And evidently, they wanted the meat with the blood because they were Canaanites. I think it's very appropriate. Again, the same word, mixed, is Ereb, which means manzer race, or bastards. Did you know that the Bible said a bastard is someone that don't know who his father is? Now, I wonder why that the Jews never confess a father. They always try to type the bloodline through their mother. This is the reason, ladies and gentlemen. And the mixed multitude fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel. Now, the mixed multitude was identified by the writer here, Moses, as two different types of people. And here's what caused Israel to weep again and said, who shall give us flesh? We remember the fish which we ate freely, the cucumbers, the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. And now our soul is dried away, and there's nothing at all beside this manna. It was the mixed multitude. Verse 4 again, 11, Numbers, verse 4, and the mixed multitude fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also. You see, bad company, rotten apples here, ladies and gentlemen. And this was the result coming exactly from the house of Judah and the house of Simeon, who brought these Canaanite sons along with the souls in the 46th chapter of the book of Genesis. Do your own research. You don't trust Pastor Buddy. Don't put your confidence in man. Don't put it in me. I'm not asking you to. I'm just asking you to do a thorough Bible search, and if you need any help, I'll just give you everything that's in the Bible on this subject. I could be here all night telling you about it. That ain't been told. You certainly ain't been told if you're in a Christian church. They ain't gonna teach us. This'll make the devil mad. And if you don't believe it, you start teaching it and say if the devil don't raise his poisonous fangs against you, and most of the tribulation will come from those who claim to be Christians. Christians, and that you're talking against the Jews, and that's God's chosen people. Ladies and gentlemen, wake up and smell the coffee here at this point, and to know that we've got a mixed multitude in among us. And if Yahweh hadn't kept count, the Bible said that Yahweh knows them that are His. He knew every one of these mixed mansers in this multitude, and they had to be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them, because they were 600,000 total. And that was just the men, folks, not counting the women and the children. So they had to have a multitude that would have numbered somewhere between 1.5 to 2 million people, or possibly more. And one third of them probably was, had Canaanite blood flowing in their veins from the house of Israel. It's almost beyond comprehension because of the deception and the craftiness of the repercussions down through the ages. And for this fact, today we suffer from it because we've all been led to believe by these lying Jews who call themselves Jews. And in reality, they're not, they're mixed. The best that we can do is that the Khazars, who are very smart and crafty, and you know that, and I gave you that last night, and now we have a more crafty crowd that's in their mix that claim to be Jews, and, well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think I'm going to have time to cover this tonight, but I've got to quickly run over here to where Christ got in the mix, and he really revealed exactly what the problem was. And it's in the 8th chapter, and we go down. Then he said, then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he said, where I go, you cannot come. Now, listen to this. Chapter 8, verse 22. And then he said unto them, where I go, you cannot come. You mean a Jew can go where he comes? That's exactly what he said. And the Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he told them that they couldn't go where he come. And he said unto them, listen to this now. Verse 23, you are from beneath, and I am from above. You are this world, and I am not this world. I said unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And then they said unto him, who art thou? And the Messiah said unto them, even the same that I said to you from the very beginning. Now, verse 27, and then they understood that they understood not. You see, a sheep will hear his voice. These people couldn't understand that he spake unto them of his Father. Now notice this. Let's go on down to verse 34. And the Messiah said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son make you free, you're free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed. Now, how could it be Abraham's seed? Because they had a connection through Judah. Judah's great-grandfather was Abraham, and he married this Canaanite woman, and here Yahweh is telling them, but you seek to kill me because my word, listen to this now, my word has no place in you, a Canaanite Jew. My word has no place in you. I speak that which I've seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Now listen to this now. And verse 39, and then they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And the Messiah said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham, but you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of Yahweh, this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, here it is. All I preach tonight is that Judah fornicated. Then they said unto him, we not be born of fornication. We have one father, even God. The Messiah said unto them, if God were your father, verse 42:8, where your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, but neither came of myself, he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? You cannot hear my word. Verse 44. Oh, this is a clincher. I got to close here quickly. You are your father, the devil. Here these Canaanite Jews, who were from the loins of Judah, which would make them the seed of Abraham, and yet they were Canaanites, and he said, your father is the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a, listen to this, he was a murderer, Canaanite. That's a Cain seed. They were Cain seeds because Judah married into the house of Cain. And ladies and gentlemen, I've got to leave it with you tonight because my time is come and gone. But I hope and trust that you can see the reality here, that you can understand that Yahweh is a strong tower and the righteous run into it and they're safe. I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey down in the great state of Mississippi, brought to you courtesy of them. And I hope and trust that you've enjoyed our program tonight. I hope that you've learned something. And if you need more information, just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Post Office Box 2284. Address it to simply the Pastor Buddy. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live here on a Saturday evening with you around the world on the transmitting Journal of the South, WWRB. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. I'll see you Monday night along the radio line. We've been so blessed to be with you tonight. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Appreciate all of it. Keep your tithes and offerings and save them up and send them to Pastor Buddy every month faithfully. I love you and I appreciate you for it. You keep my hands lifted up that I can still keep preaching the gospel and pay my bills and give my life to the King, which I have faithfully for over 52 years. I'm serving him tonight. I hope you are. I hope you love him. They that love him will reign with him. And those that don't love him will be sent to someplace else. Well, Yahweh bless you, and I love you tonight. I'll see you Monday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on the radio network WWRB 3.185. Yahweh bless you.
Yahweh, he liveth, and blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Yahweh, he liveth, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, look, magnify Yahweh, for he is worthy to be praised. Oh, look, magnify Yahweh, for he is worthy to be praised. Yahweh, he liveth, and blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Yahweh.